scripture reading for today is Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and I'm reading in the NRSV. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You have looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because my house lies in ruins, while all of you hurry off to your own houses. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land, and the hills on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the soil produces on humans and animals and all their labors. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
Between the 29th of August, 520 BC or 521 BC and the 1st of December, 520 years before the birth of Christ or thereabouts, God raised up the prophet Haggai to speak to the kingdom of Judah, sometimes called Israel in the Bible, but it's the southern kingdom, the two tribes at the bottom of the map, if you're looking at it, Benjamin and Judah. And he used Haggai to call them back to what God had wanted them to do, always. The sense of the presence of God is so powerful here this morning that I, for a moment, considered moving away from this message to do something else, but I think the Lord wants me to speak it to you. So I'm going to be faithful to him as best I can. This was a recall. It was a recommitment. It was a recommissioning. God was not speaking to these people for the first time. He was speaking to them again. He was drawing them back to what he told them to do before. And over the next five Sunday mornings, between the 2nd of February and the 2nd of March, we are going to look at these four prophetic words here in our fellowship and our network, KTLCC. And I'm going to ask a question: is God recommissioning us? Is he doing something deep within your life and mine that is bringing us back to his original purposes? Now, I'm not born and brought up in KT. Some of you are, some of you are not. But the beauty of a church like this is you don't have to be born here to be here. You don't have to be a child of the house to become a son or a daughter of the house. And when God draws a people together, he draws them together for a distinct and powerful purpose. And he is doing something in the midst of KTLCC, which is not simply bringing us back to somewhere, it's bringing us back and bringing us forward. It's bringing us back all the way through the annals of our story, back through the ministry of Mark Ryan and Simon Foster and Colin Dye and Wynne Lewis, all the way back to Eldon Corsi, who with his wife Vivian entered this building in the 1960s with a small band of people from a church just up the road, and they stood. There was no balcony. There were no seats like this. There was no lower hall. The building was falling down. And this small band of people stood in the midst of it and said, Lord, do something in this place. You're sitting on the seats that other people paid for. You're enjoying a screen that other people invested in. You're enjoying the ministry that generations before you invested in and prayed for and warred for and contended for by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my question to you, if you are part of the KTLCC family, is will we leave a legacy that will outlive us? Or are we a generation that lives on the back of the sacrifice of the generation that went before us, but are not willing ourselves to invest in God's kingdom and God's glory and God's purposes and God's plans? These next 5 weeks are serious, but they are not heavy. They are filled with hope and anticipation, but I want to tell you something. If you are part of this house, listen to what God is saying. Pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak into your heart and into your soul. Let him draw you back if you have wandered away to his purpose in your life. Let him call you back to that first love, to that first call, to that first anointing. That moment when he said, this is what I want to do with you, Jane. This is what I want to do with you, Emmanuel. This is what I want to do with you. Allow him by his voice through the messages of this prophet to speak into your heart and allow him to speak into this house. If we will let him, God is doing something amongst us which is beautiful and powerful and life-giving. You have experienced some of it today, but he also lays down an opportunity. You see, here's the backstory to Haggai for a moment. 87 years before this story takes place, the southern kingdom of Judah were taken hostage, captive by a superpower. And as they were attacked, this superpower swept down upon them in three different bouts, 606 BC, 595 BC, and 585 or 586 BC. And they took them from Jerusalem, from Israel, and they put them in Babylon. They left their homes. They left what was familiar. They left everything. And they were taken captive. They were an oppressed people. And God told them that he was punishing them for what they had done wrong. But he also gave them a promise. A promise that is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 29. He said this to them, after 70 years, I will bring you back to this land. But most of them forgot. They were busy living. They were busy living, working out how to be family, how to bring up their kids, how to do whatever we were all busy doing with our lives. But one man didn't forget, a man called Daniel. And as a young boy, Daniel had been part of that group that was taken into captivity. He was probably 12 or 13, maybe 14 or 15. And all through his time in Babylon, he becomes more and more important. He never moves away from the Lord. He always serves him. And God promotes him and promotes him and promotes him until he's one of the most important people in the kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 9, we're told that about 540 or 539 BC, that's when this happens, Daniel reads the book of Jeremiah, or the letter. And he realizes, okay, it's nearly 70 years. God promised he was going to rebuild and bring us back to Jerusalem. So he starts to pray. And within 2 years, the superpower that had been in control of the Israelites changes. And a new emperor arises, a man called Cyrus. If you go to the British Museum and go to room 50, you'll see in it something called Cyrus's cylinder. It's about that length and about that width. And on that cylinder, Cyrus wrote, "I am decreeing that the people of Israel are to be released from captivity and are permitted to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city." Not only does he say that that's going to happen, completely unexpected, he says, "I'm going to pay for it." So he pays for the wound and he gives them protection right across his empire. And most of them, when given the opportunity to go home, say, "No, you're okay, thank you." The majority would rather stay as slaves in comfort than walk in freedom into the promises of God. But those that do go back and they start to build. It's 537, exactly 70 years after they were taken into captivity. The promise of God is fulfilled. Jeremiah's words are used. Daniel's prayer is used. And then over the next 17 years, they stop. You can read about it in Ezra. You can read about it in Kings and in Chronicles. Zechariah is a prophet that is talking at the same time. In fact, when you compare the scripture reading you heard today in Zechariah's text, you discover that within a few months, both of them prophesied. But Haggai speaks to a people who have been called by God to do something but have stopped. And they probably stopped because they were discouraged, stopped because they were opposed, stopped because they were tired, stopped because they were a bit deflated, stopped because maybe they've become cynical. There are lots of reasons. It doesn't explore all the reasons. It just says you've stopped. And in this first message, God says to the people of Israel, "I want you to start again." And he does it in a series of questions and invitations. So the first question that he asks is found in verses 2 and 3. And he says, "Why do you say that the Lord's house doesn't need work? Why have you stopped?" And I think God is bringing the KTLCC family into a wonderful new season. And I want to put a caveat on what I'm saying to you today. You see, I don't think that in many ways we have stopped. I think many have pressed into what God has been wanting and they've been holding on to it. They've been praying for it. They've been longing to see it. But I think over this month, God is going to use this little prophet to say to you, go again. Pick up the gifts that I have given you. Pick up the resources that I have placed at your feet. Pick up the anointings that I have placed on you. Remember what I called you to and go again. Amen. And I wonder if that is not only a word for us as a family, but it's a word for those of you that are here today that are guests. You've come to KT because you want to be part of what God's doing. You've come to be blessed. You've come to be encouraged. You've come because you're coming through town. Maybe you've made the point of coming just to come to hear. You are welcome in this house. We're glad you are here. And at the end of this time together, I want to pray for you that you will be refreshed and renewed and strengthened. Because I think when God is speaking to a church in the way that he's speaking to our church family, he also speaks to other churches through us. He draws people to us with a similar heart and vision and passion, and he wants to bless and encourage and release gifts and release skills. We don't need to own you. We don't need to control you. We're not seeking to stick our name all over you. We just want to bless you in the name of Jesus. We want to bless what God is doing in you. We want to release you into a new season, and I will give you an opportunity to respond to that in a moment. And I also think that when God is at work in a house, he's at work in individuals. And that he's saying to some of you here and online, go again. Pick up the mantle that I've placed upon you. Pick up the calling that I've placed upon you. Stop giving me excuses. I can't serve you because such and such a person hurt me. I can't serve you because such and such a person broke my trust. I can't serve you because it didn't work the last time. I can't serve you because I don't have enough money. I can't serve you because I don't have enough resource. I can't serve you because I don't have enough time. And God says back, they're all excuses. If you can't serve me where you are, you'll never serve me where you're not. We need to stop waiting for the perfect moment and instead take the moment that's right in front of us and say yes to him now. Over the last few months, I've had conversations with people who've said, I'd love to serve the Lord, but I need him to do this first, or this first, or this first. And my response is always the same: until you're serving him, he's not going to do anything else. Why would he trust you with more if you're not serving him with what you've got? You see, the second part of this story is a challenging question. Twice in chapter 1 and once in chapter 2, Haggai uses this little phrase, consider your ways, or consider how you have fared. He uses it 3 times in his letter. And he says this to these people: you tell me you can't serve me, but your houses are paneled. You have found the time to do up your own place, but you haven't found the time to honor my place. And to colloquialize what God says through Haggai, he says, how does that work? How can you have time to build your own house, but not mine? How can you have time to invest in your own future, but not my call? How does that work? And sisters and brothers, God asks the church of Jesus Christ today the same question. He asks me that question. He asks you that question. He asks Kensington Temple and London City Church that question. He asks you here, if you're a visitor, that question. You have enough to serve me. You have what is required to put me first. It's your will that is the issue. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that these 4 words that God spoke to Haggai, God wants to use to speak to us. And the first word is that he says to us, I want you to build God's kingdom, God's way. You see, he then makes an interesting link, and I wonder if this will resonate with some of you. Twice, from verses 3 to 5, and then from verse 9 to 10, the Holy Spirit says through Haggai something very similar. He says, consider how you have fared up to this point. You feel like you've put your money in pockets with holes in it. You feel like I've blown away what was planted. In other words, you're dissatisfied. On this side is all that you've invested, and on that side is all that you have reaped, and this is not commensurate with this. You're disappointed. I expected more. I wanted more. I was believing for more, not just more money, not just more power. I wanted more of your life. I wanted more of your freedom. I wanted more of your anointing. I wanted more of the sense of walking in your purposes and accomplishing your will. Maybe even in this beautiful house over the years, we look now and say, we thought we'd be in a different place. We thought we'd have reached more people and touched more nations and planted more churches and raised more cells and celebrated more leaders and released and birthed more ministries. Despite everything that we've done and God has done through us, we stand today on the 2nd of February, 2025 and say, we're a bit disappointed. And God says, I know. And I allowed that to happen. Because I want your attention. I want you to say yes to me again and watch what I do. You see, so often we come to God dissatisfied, but we're not willing to acknowledge that our dissatisfaction is actually a key to our liberation. It's only as we realize how much we need him that we will lean into him. And I wonder if God, the Holy Spirit, might say to some of us today, you are blaming your dissatisfaction on the enemy. I created or allowed that dissatisfaction to draw you into intimacy with me. And you are too busy attacking this because you haven't got everything you wanted. but this could be a gateway to a new season. I wonder if some of you have been too busy building walls and not busy enough digging wells. Is it possible that God is not trying to bring KTLCC back, but that he is bringing us forward into something that we have never experienced before, into a season that we have never known before? But he's doing it by reminding us of all that he has promised over the years. And he's saying, you've seen a partial fulfillment and a partial fulfillment and a partial fulfillment, but now I'm going to bring you into the fullness of what I want to do. And all I need is people to say, yes, glory to God. A few weeks ago, a few months ago now, we had a senior leaders day in which I was talking to some of our senior leaders about my journey here and perhaps what the Lord might be saying to us. I always think it's important to test those things together. I get a bit suspicious when one person tries to say, I've heard God, you've all got to obey. That's not my style. Anyway, we were talking about where God might be taking us and we were celebrating it. And on the Wednesday of that week, this was on the Friday morning, the Lord had given me a new tongue. And he doesn't do that very often, but he's done it a lot in the last few months. And I don't remember the tongue that he's given me. So he gave me a tongue earlier in this meeting. I can't remember what it was. I know it was Swahili, but I don't remember what it was. But on this particular occasion, he gave me something on the Wednesday night in our prayer meeting. And I was praying it and shouting it and declaring it and thanking God and standing in faith in it. And on the Friday, we were talking about where God was taking us. And this week in our conference, we're going to be celebrating and unpacking this. Do not miss what God is doing in this house this week. Clear your diary and be present. You will not get a chance like this again. You want to be able to look back and say, I was part of that week. Anyway, as we were talking about this, one of the people in the room said, you know, I feel as if it's my turn. It's my turn now. And they came onto a whiteboard that I have in my office and wrote on it, you're going to have to help me, in Yoruba, thank you, Emi Lucan. Pardon? Emi Lucan. Oui. Well, I'm speaking in French now. Yes. I beg your pardon. Emi Lucan. It's my turn. And another person in the room said, can I change that slightly? And they get up and they wrote on the whiteboard, Awa Lucan. Say it again. It's our turn. One person, not everybody. One person, tell me what that is in Yoruba. Awalukan. And they wrote Awalukan. And I said, oh, that's the tongue the Lord gave me on Wednesday night. And I'd been praying it for 48 hours. That's happened 7 or 8 times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. In Swahili, and I can't even pronounce how to say the language. In Yoruba, in Portuguese, in Swahili. God is at work in this house. Haggai was a prophet raised by God. I'm not saying that, I'm that. Haggai was a prophet raised by God. I want you to note something. They didn't follow Haggai. They followed the word of the Lord that Haggai brought. As the Lord moved in Haggai, he then moved in the leaders. And as he moved in the leaders, he then moved in the people. And the scripture is very clear in verses 9 and 10 and 11, again and again and again in this chapter that we've just read together, the people respond to what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is doing in the church. I can tell you, never mind me, but I can tell you, God has said to this church, it is our turn. It is our turn. He has done it miraculously. He has done it specifically. He has done it powerfully. Now you must decide if that includes you. That is not my job, but it is yours. If you believe it's your turn, then you and I have to find a place on this wall. And we have to say yes to God, to whatever he's asking of us, to whatever it looks like, to however long it takes. We've got to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe that he's calling you into that, find where he is calling you and join him in that task. There's a danger in preaching a message like this. Because I'm saying to you, I trust you. That's not dangerous. But you got to work out what God is saying to you about the rest of your life. Does the next season of your life, if you're part of this church family, are you going to lean into it? Or are you going to lean out of it? You see, in this story, the people that Haggai is prophesying to had got cynical. If you lean into cynicism, you'll become more and more cynical. If you lean into criticism, you'll become more and more critical. If you lean into paucity and poverty and a mindset that says that you are not somehow blessed or strengthened by the Lord, you will end up having a poverty spirit. If you lean into arrogance, you'll become more and more prideful. But if you lean into the grace of God, if you lean into the call of God, if you lean into the promises of God, something changes in your spirit. So I'm asking you today, what are you going to lean into? Will you lean into what God is saying or not? That's what God asks here. And the people say yes. And God stirs them up. And we're told from verse 12 on that he says, from this day I will bless you. And as we unpack this story across the rest of the month of February, I pray that God will grab you by the Holy Spirit. And that he will speak into your life. And that whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, however you're serving, you will lean into what God has for you. And you will build God's kingdom, God's way. And you will allow him to release gifts in you. You see, I think there are dormant gifts in this house that need to be released. I think there are leaders sitting in front of me and you've not had the chance to lead yet. I think there's a generation of women and men that God is raising up. I think he's opening doors and he's releasing people into a new season. You gotta say yes to him. The mystery is that God says to these people, Israel, I didn't choose you because you were strong. I chose you because I loved you. And in verses 7, 8, and 9 of the passage, God says something which is shocking, I think. He says to these people, there's been a drought in the land because you have been disobedient. The very territory around you has felt the impact of you stopping the work. God has called KTLCC to be a house of prayer for the nations. He's called us to be a community that reaches out. He's called us to be a community that somehow takes a stand for London, that prays for the world. There's something on this house, not because we are great, not because we are clever, not because we are special, but because God has chosen to place it on us. And we got to live into that anointing, sisters and brothers. We've got to take the responsibility of it because through the ministry of what God is calling us to do, the nations can be blessed, the kingdom can be extended, the city of London can be transformed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that with all of my heart. The people feared the Lord and they feared the word of the Lord. I am worried for the church in the United Kingdom right now because I'm seeing a church that is more concerned about reputation with power brokers than with fearing the word of the Lord. A church that is willing to shift its position in order to be acceptable or respectable or have its place at the table when actually what should drive us is the fear of the Lord. A desire to honor him in all that he is and to live for him in all of our ways, in both seen and unseen. And across this month, I believe that God is going to move in power in all of those people who say yes to him. And I know what I've said to him, but I can't control what you say. I can't make that decision for you. But I pray that you will say yes to him. You see, he says to these people in verse 8, go up into the hills, bring down the wood and build. Three simple verbs, go up, bring down, and build. There's something in your hand that you can use to serve God. There's something in your life that you can find. There is wood that you can find, and you can bring it and you can offer it to him. You don't need to come into God's presence empty-handed. And if you think you're empty-handed, that's a lie from the enemy. God has given you something to use for his glory. What he's asking you to do is make it available to him. And I wonder what it is. Maybe it's time. Maybe it is money. Maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it's a property. Maybe it's an idea. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's an entrepreneurial spirit. There are 1,000 things that God could give you and 1,000 more after that. But he asks us to lay them at his feet and then to watch what he does with them.